Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we sing of your majesty. We sing of your glory. For Lord, you indeed are majestic and you indeed are glorious. And so, Lord, our prayer now as we turn to your word that we believe is absolutely and unequivocally true is that you would give us your wisdom. Cultivate in us a depth of knowledge and understanding that we might be more like Jesus, that the world, when looking at us, might see him. And so, Lord, now, draw us to Christ, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 7 through 14 today, and if you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 812, and if you are a YouVersion user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But on this Father's Day, I want to take you back to my house on Lucinda Drive during my teenage years, and we had a refrigerator in the house, just like everybody else. But at some point during my teenage years, my father cut something out of a newspaper. Now, for those of you who don't know what a newspaper is, that's your Twitter feed, but they print it on paper and take it to your house. But he found a picture in a newspaper and he cut it out. And it was one of those marquees that they put outside of a restaurant where you can change the letters. And all it said was this: trying to fool my father is like trying to sneak a sunrise past a rooster. Trying to fool my father is like trying to sneak a sunrise past a rooster. And I don't know where he found it, but I want you to know it had its intended effect, because I haven't lived in that house for now 20 years. That house belongs to somebody else. That refrigerator is in a dump, and I don't know where that little piece of paper is, but I know exactly what it said. Because every time I passed through the kitchen, and you had to pass through the kitchen to get anywhere else in the house, I saw, trying to fool my father is like trying to sneak a sunrise past a rooster. Well, you fast forward 20 years later, now that I have two children, he was right. And the reason I know that he was right is because he was depraved before I was depraved. And so he already knew what I was thinking. And I know that because I was depraved before my children were depraved, and I already know what they're thinking. Do you know that God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us parents that we might obtain knowledge, that we might gain supervised experience? That's what we're doing. We're gaining supervised experience under our parents as they let us out a little further and a little further and a little further. We're not all on our own. So that maybe, just maybe, we might dwell in wisdom. That's what Solomon said in the Proverbs. In Proverbs 1, verses 7 through 9, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." So God has given us parents that we might understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that maybe as they decide for us, then allow us to decide a little bit on our own, and then eventually put us out where we will make all the decisions for ourselves. Maybe we would dwell in knowledge. Maybe we would live according to wisdom. We're going to go back to the side of the mountain today. Because I want you to know, if you feel like a failure as a father, you are. So am I. No father is perfect except for one, our heavenly Father. In fact, the very first father any of us had was Adam. He was created in the image of God from the dust of the earth and had the breath of God breathed into him, the breath of life breathed into him. And he was given one responsibility. I've given you paradise, Adam. Here's what you do. I'm going to give you my command and you pass it on to those who come after. So your job, Adam, is to pass it on to Eve, to pass it on to your children as you are fruitful and multiply, as you fill the earth and subdue it. And Adam failed. He did not pass on the commandment in a way that led to wisdom, because when experience came, everything unraveled. So God gave us a second Adam. That's what Paul wrote to the Romans. We have a second Adam, Jesus the Christ, to walk in wisdom, to live perfectly the way of wisdom, and to inculcate in us the wisdom of God that we might walk and live. So we're going to go back to the side of the mountain and hear the wisdom of our Savior, Jesus. But I want to give you this theme. Our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely, and He gives us the ability to know how. Our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely, and He gives us the ability to know how. I want to look with you at Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Our Lord Jesus is speaking, and He said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." First, I want us to see this morning that our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the path of our pursuit. He calls us to choose wisely the path of our pursuit. In other words, when you are in need, what do? When you need something, where do you go? How do you proceed? And Jesus would tell us three things according to the wisdom of Almighty God. First, ask God. Now, how many of you have found in your life that you can be stubborn at times? You don't have to raise your hand. If we live with you, we know who you are. If we work with you, we know who you are. And for some of us, when we look in the mirror, we know who we are. And how many of you like to fix it yourself? God, I'm going to take care of this one. You've got other things going on. The world is big. I've got this one under control. And how many of you have found in your stubbornness that that stubbornness is basically foolishness because, well, you couldn't take a breath if it weren't for God's intervention. Your heart wouldn't beat if it weren't for God's intervention. So asking God is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of true dependence, recognizing that you truly are dependent upon the God who made you and who loves you and who sustains you. So ask God. He will hear. God said through the prophet in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things you have not known." But Jesus said not only to ask, He said to seek. Seek and you will find. Seek God. He will be found by you. Through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:13, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." What is the pathway of your pursuit? You ask God. You seek God. He is able to be found by you. And what if it takes some time? Well, then you knock. You persist in prayer. Do you know that sometimes God doesn't answer as quickly as we want Him to because He's teaching us how to persist? He's teaching us how to persevere when it doesn't come easy. How many of you have found that in life you have to persevere because at times it won't come easy? At times you have to keep at it, and God teaches us that. He tells through Jesus in Luke chapter 18 the parable of the persistent widow who went before an unjust judge who would not give her justice, but because she persisted, He relented and gave her the justice she sought. "Hear what the Lord, the unrighteous judge, says," said the Lord, "and will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you," Jesus said, "He will give justice to them speedily." So what is the path of our pursuit when we're in need? Well, we ask God. We seek God. We knock. Because Jesus said, ask, 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 and it will be given to you. Seek, seek the Lord, seek Almighty God, and you will find. Knock, persist, persevere, don't give up. It will be open to you. So there's the path of our pursuit. There's the wisdom from Almighty God. When you are in need, how do you proceed? You go to God. Well, now look at verses 9 through 11. "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I want us to see secondly today, our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the source of our supply. Our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the source of our supply. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. For those of you who are parents in the room, have you ever had a kid who wanted to do it on their own? We have a couple of those, one a little bit more so than the other. A kid that just had to do it themselves. We have one who will venture out cautiously, and then we have another one who somehow it is drilled into her DNA that it is easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. So sometimes we come upon things. My wife will tell me sometimes if I'm at home with her alone, you let her get too quiet, Jeff, and look what's happened. Because she'll go and figure it out because she's strong and she's independent and she's going to do it on her own. How many of you who are children, and that, by the way, would include all of us in this room, how many of you had to learn it the hard way? Anybody? How many of you chose not to benefit from the wisdom that your parents were trying to pass down to you, and you chose to go your way, and it didn't work out so well? Anybody? I had a supervisor once, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, who called it stupid tax. Has anybody ever paid stupid tax? You made a stupid decision, and then you had to pay for it. Andy Griffith would say, you've made your bed, now you have to lie in it. But you know, God gives us parents with, not all of them have wisdom, but many of them have wisdom. And as we listen to our parents who are seeking to follow the Lord and seeking to pass that wisdom on to us, we can avoid some dangerous traps if we'll just listen. Well, the same is true as we follow God. He is the source of our supply. What have you needed that he has not provided? And so if he is the one who has provided everything you've needed up until this point, why would you go anywhere else? Why would you have to learn the lesson the hard way? Why would you have to figure it out? Why would you have to go and instead of asking for permission and for wisdom from God, why would you have to ask for forgiveness? Well, we all are guilty of that. But God in his grace has given us a Savior so that we might be cleansed of our sin and set back on the path to life. Why would we suffer when we don't have to? Well, our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the source of our supply. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from God, and his arms are open to receive us when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, when we need, and to answer in his time according to his will, because he truly knows what is best for us. Well, now we come to verse 12, and you already know verse 12. You've memorized verse 12, but I want to read to you verse 12. Jesus said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I want us to see thirdly this morning that our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the basis for our behavior. Now, this is the golden rule. You know that, right? Do unto others, not as they do unto you. That's the rule of retribution. And God calls us to live above and beyond the rule of retribution. We are not to seek vengeance. Why? Because vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will repay. So we don't seek vengeance. No, we seek to treat others in the way that we would have them treat us. But don't miss the foundation here. This is what's so important. It's not just the sweet little golden rule that they teach us in school about how to treat each other. There's a foundation here. Jesus says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do you know what in the Old Testament they called the Bible? The law, the writings, the prophets. Those were the sections of Scripture. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, build your life upon the foundation of the Word of God. If you will live out your faith, if it will be more than just a label to you, if you will live according to the principles of faith found in having a relationship with Jesus Christ, your life will be better for it. And so will the lives of those God has providentially placed around you. I came across an article again this week that I read a year and a half ago. And the article grabbed my attention. It was put out by Trevin Wax, who works at Lifeway. and it was published by the Gospel Coalition on January 22nd, 2018, and the title of the article is this: Parents, Take Note of the Spiritual Practices Common to Kids Who Flourish as Adults. Take note of the spiritual practices common to kids who flourish as adults. Do you want to give your children the best shot to live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints as they become adults? Well, here's what he says. A new Lifeway research study commissioned by Lifeway Kids surveyed 2,000 Protestant and non-denominational churchgoers who attend church at least once a month and have adult children ages 18 to 30. The goal of the project was to discover what parenting practices were common in the families where young adults remained in the faith. What affected their moral and spiritual development? What factors stood out? The highest factor, the biggest factor, was Bible reading. Children who regularly read the Bible while they were growing up were more likely to have a vibrant spiritual life once they become adults. This statistic, the writer says, doesn't surprise me. God's Word is powerful. The Bible lays out the great story of our world and helps us interpret our lives and make decisions within the framework of a biblical worldview. Bible reading is a constant reminder that we live as followers of God. Our King has spoken. He reigns over us. We want to walk in His ways. So far and away, the best thing that we parents can do to give our children the best shot at living out the faith once they're out of the house is to get into them the practice of reading their Bible. Now, we have to model that. We can't just tell them to do it. We have to show them how we do that. And it can't just be once a week. You can't bring them to the professionals on Sunday morning and say, do what they do. No, it has to be something that we're doing all the time. Now, is that a guarantee? No, because those little creatures have a free will of their own. And they're going to have to stand before God on their own one day. But if I'm trying to raise my children and I'm trying to figure out what are the best practices that have given measurable results, the number one most important factor is you get them in the Bible. What were the others? That prayer is a regular part of your life. And there weren't a whole lot of specifics given, but prayer is a regular part of life. And three, that the kids serve in church. Not just that they receive constantly, but that they learn that they are human beings endowed with gifts and talents that are there given to serve the body of Christ and to serve the community. And I fear in the church, I'm not talking about our church, but in the church, we have made it too much about pouring into kids and never expecting them to use what God has given them to pour into others. And so one of the things we're trying to do here at First Baptist Church is teach children to identify their gifts and then to use their gifts in service to Almighty God. And the other thing, the last thing, is singing Christian songs. Isn't that something? That seemed to be a big factor. But far and away, the most important foundation was the Word of God. And so Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this fulfills, this sums up, this is the law and the prophets. This is what it means to live out your faith. Yesterday I stood right here. There was a beautiful floral arbor right behind me with a beautiful young couple. And we put them together as husband and wife. And it was gorgeous. The bride was radiant. The groom was glowing. But do you know what was the most important thing about these two who were standing right here? Their faith was more than a label to them. They believed Jesus. And that wasn't just a Sunday morning pronouncement for them. That wasn't just a box they check on a survey. That was the way they patterned their lives. So not only did they confess Christ, but they sought to live Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. So I stood right here and I told them, you come to marriage pre-committed. You come as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, so you are not building a twofold strand. You are building a cord of three strands. The central, first, foundational strand is Almighty God. He will bind you together as you live out your faith within the context of your Christian household. And I believe they're going to have a beautiful life together. But faith's got to be more than just a label. Faith's got to be more than just an identifier. It's got to be something that goes down to the roots of who we are and then propels us forward to live according to the faith that's once for all delivered to the saints. So Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Fourthly today, our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the only way that leads to eternal life. Our Heavenly Father calls us to choose wisely the only way that leads to eternal life. I struggled with this for years. Why does he say the path is narrow and it's not easy? You know why the path is narrow? Because it passes through the space of one man, Jesus of Nazareth. To enter into eternal life, there is one way. John chapter 14, Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for what was coming next, his death on the cross. And he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to get you, that where I am, you may be also." And at that point, Thomas speaks up. Thomas is that inquisitive child, the one who needs to know why. And Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And how does Jesus respond? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus had said on the side of a mountain that the way was wide and the way was easy that leads to destruction. But the path is narrow that leads to eternal life because it passes through Christ. And Christ's call is that we follow him. And that means that our Christian faith is more than just a label. It is a way of life. We deny ourselves. We go to him first when we're in need. We recognize that he is the source of our supply. We live our faith in a way that others are blessed because Jesus is in us. And that means we have to deny our more basic instincts at times. And we have to deny our more basic urges to say, "No, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And my life is different in him." Jesus said in John 14, verse 7, just after saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Why? Because in the Son, we behold the glory of the Father. In the Son, we see God revealed. And in the Son, we receive the wisdom only God can give. And so at the bottom of your notes, I've included a quote from the Apostle Paul recorded in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And so now we come to a time of response. As we receive God's wisdom, as we receive God's knowledge, God calls us to respond in faith. And so as we sing hymn number 490, "Take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee," if you need to receive Christ, we want to invite you to come. If you need to be baptized, we want to invite you to come. If you're ready to follow the Lord in joining our church and living out your faith using your gifts and talents in the context of First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, we want to invite you to come. If you just need to pray, some of our deacons will be down here ready to receive you. If you're going to be an adult servant at CentraKid this week, come on down during this time. And we have some exciting things to tell you about. Will you stand with me? And as we stand, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the great wisdom that you have given. We thank you that you are our good Father. And for the rest of us who are called dad on this earth, Lord, we know we mess it up more than we get it right. We ask for your grace, for we know it is in your grace alone that we stand. We pray that you would give us your wisdom and that we would be faithful to pass that wisdom on to those that you've entrusted to our care. And Lord, we pray that you would, in this moment, magnify Jesus, lift him up that we might all be drawn unto him. That if there are any in this room who need to receive Christ, that today would be the day they come. That if there are any in this room who have yet to step forward in faith by professing their faith in Jesus Christ through baptism, that today would be the day that they come. And if they're ready as baptized believers to join our church, that today would be the day that they come. Lord, if they need to pray, let them know it's okay. That our deacons are here to receive them, to love them, to let them know they do not walk this road alone. Or even if it's just coming to pray and praise God, come. So Lord, at this time, as we sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," may it be so in this place. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, come, beloved of the Father, come.